There is good news for the captive. Good news.
Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This month, there are some who celebrate homosexuality and also the LGBTQ plus community. Today, we are going to present truth, consequences, and hope for homosexuals and members of the LGBTQ community. It is important that we first look at what God has to say, because there are a lot of people that are living their lives in a way that the Bible defines as an abomination. And there are consequences to committing sin. And the Bible calls homosexuality sin. But the Bible also offers hope for sinners. And we're going to present, first of all, lay out the groundwork of our basis of truth, and then present truth, and then present also the consequences of not obeying or not turning and accepting that truth. And then also we will present the hope that is found, in fact, the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ. One of the verses we quote quite often when we talk about a topic, and I know that this is a topic that is a controversial topic. It's a topic that some people don't want to talk about. It's a topic, in fact, that some pastors won't speak about. In fact, there are major churches in major cities in this country where there are large percentages of the congregation that are homosexual. And even though the church doesn't believe in homosexuality, the pastor will not preach on homosexuality and call people to repent. And really, if we don't do so, then what we're doing is we're allowing someone to continue to live a lifestyle that is destructive in this earth, and also leads to death and hell in the future. But God gives hope. God gives redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Pontius Pilate, when Jesus was before him, asked him, "What is truth?" And when we look at any topic, especially topics that are controversial, we need to ask ourselves, what is truth? Pontius Pilate was asking this in a sarcastic way, but it is important that we actually look at what is truth. And people base truth on various things. People base truth on popular opinion quite often, or maybe what an actor says, or an actress says, or what a singer says, what they may see in a movie or on a TV show. People base their value of truth sometimes on what they see in the news or what a politician says. But our really truth is true whether you believe it or not, whether you agree with it or not, and you need to base your truth on truth, and that is found in the Word of God. We see in John chapter 17, I'm just going to quickly go over these passages. I'm not going to read them, but you can actually do that on your own. I encourage you to do that on your own. In fact, one of the things we encourage you to do is to read through the Bible. To read the Bible, not just to read a verse a day, but to read through the Bible. Really, you should be at minimum, in my opinion, reading the Bible through every single year. Jesus said that we're to abide in his word. That means to live in his word. That's from John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. And we are told that we are to hunger for the word of God, that it is our necessary food. We need to be looking at the word of God as if it were our necessary food. How long can you go without food? Would you settle for just a bite a day, a bite of food a day? No, every one of us, really, unless you're fasting, and you can only do that for a short period of time, but unless you're fasting, you need food to sustain yourself, and we need the word of God to sustain us as well. So the word of God is true. John 17, verses 17 through 20. Jesus was praying the high priestly prayer and prays that God would sanctify them by his truth. And he says, your word is truth. We see also in Psalm 119, many passages, really the whole passage, the whole chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, is filled with examples of really how the word of God is truth and how hiding his word in our heart can help us to not sin against God. His commandments are righteous. They are true. They are faithful. His law is true. These are things that you see in Psalm 119. One passage that I referenced just a few minutes ago is John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. If you abide in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, Jesus spoke this to the Jews who believed in him, and when he did so, they were offended because they said, we've never been a slave. We're free men. And Jesus told them that they're slaves of sin. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you're free from sin. Just because you've said a prayer, just because you've committed your life to Jesus, doesn't mean that you're free from sin. This is a process, and it happens as we abide in his word, as we read his word. We come to know truth because his word is truth, and we're actually focusing on his truth and meditating upon his truth instead of meditating on the sin, and that truth sets us free from sin. We see in Acts chapter 17, the Berean believers heard Paul. They were open-minded, but they also weren't so, in the words of former, really kind of a punk rock Christian musician, Steve Taylor, they weren't so open-minded that their brains leaked out. They actually searched the Word of God. They studied the Word of God, and they searched it to see whether what Paul was saying was actually in the Word of God. So it's important whether what I say or your pastor says or any minister says or anyone else that would be of influence to you, whatever they say, weigh it against the Word of God. Be reading the Word of God and examining what you believe even against the Word of God. And if you find a contradiction, well, you need to dig in a little bit deeper. You need to see, am I understanding the Word of God clearly? You need to just compare what you believe and what the Bible says. And when you find a conflict, really, hey, you're not going to change the Bible. You can figuratively highlight certain passages with a black highlighter. You can ignore them. You can act like they're not there, but they are there. When we find a contradiction, we need to actually change our beliefs and to line this up with the Word of God. We see, and we've gone over this quite a bit, in Romans chapter 1, there are some who actually suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So they know the truth, but they actually suppress it. They don't want you to find out the truth. We're seeing a lot of people right now coming out and saying things that really are, to most people, were pretty obvious about our former President Biden, that he wasn't cognitively there, that he wasn't cognitively capable of being president of the United States. I mean, that was evident even in when he was running for president, before he was actually elected. It was actually evident and clear when he couldn't even quote the Declaration of Independence, and when he couldn't finish certain sentences. And yet, you know, now all of a sudden, people that told us he was sharp as a tack, now all of a sudden they're coming forth in truth, and they're actually admitting that he wasn't sharp as a tack. But they told us he was sharp as a tack because they wanted a political outcome, and they were suppressing the truth. They knew the truth, but they were purposely suppressing the truth. Many of them, we don't know that all of them knew the truth, but certainly those that were around him, anyone that was had a observation of some of the things that he said could have easily known that he wasn't all there, and yet they suppress that truth. And there are people that know the truth about actions and about how people should live that suppress the truth as well. The Bible even goes on in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, and says that these people actually exchange the truth for the lie. So they know the truth, and really they even, the Bible goes on in Romans chapter 1 even saying that they even know that what they're doing is wrong, that it's a sin, and that those who practice such things will experience consequences, yet they do them anyway. And really, you read that passage, that entire chapter, you're going to see that really, you're going to see quite a bit of actually what the topic that we're talking about and addressing, that as people suppress the truth, as they actually exchange the truth for the lie, that they actually, God gave them over to depravity, including men, loving men, and exchanging, forsaking the natural use of a woman and actually burning in lust one for another. You also see women burning with lust or exchanging the natural use that God has given them, and actually, you know, that could be actually, you know, a number of things, including forsaking childbirth, including forsaking raising children, and including seeking a career over being a mommy, being a wife and a mommy, and also homosexuality as well. God has called for the church to actually be the pillar and ground of truth. And you can see this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Also, we are to study the Word of God. We're to study His precepts so that we can be diligent to rightly divide the truth. Again, you're not going to get that by reading one verse a day. In fact, you're going to have to actually read the Word of God and meditate on His Word. And this is going to be a process, and it's going to take time. And God wants you to actually get into His Word and a hunger for His Word, and to see and taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, when we look at the Bible is clear. There aren't any more. There's nothing more than two genders. I mean, there are people that say, hey, you know, I'm, you know, this gender, I'm transgender. I'm, you know, some people want to, I mean, really, I think in New York City, they actually have over 40 different genders that, by law, businesses are required to acknowledge and actually not discriminate against anyone who happens to say they're one of these genders. And there's an idea today, and there are even some videos where people have gone onto college campuses and have actually asked people, well, you know, if I say that I'm a cat, would you accept that? And the kids actually say, yes, if you say you're a cat, you're a cat. I mean, this is absurd. How absurd can we be? I mean, we heard a lot maybe 5 years ago about trust science. And we know that a lot of those people weren't trusting science. They were even, many of those leaders were actually suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. But the science says that God created male and female. The Bible says that God created male and female in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. God created mankind, male and female. You are either a boy or you are a girl. You're either a man or a woman. You're not one or, you know, you can't switch from one just because you feel like you want to. And one of the things that is happening today is that young people, especially before puberty, sometimes are confused. And really, especially as their body starts to change, they can become really troubled by this. And in that period, especially if they don't have a strong family life, or maybe their parents, they either have a bad relationship with one of their parents, or the parents don't get along, or they've been taken advantage of by someone of the same sex or the opposite sex. Well, that can actually drive people to want to change their gender, or to women, girls, to actually suppress their femininity. So Chloe Cole actually talks about this. She was a girl, and she had what some people call gender dysphoria. And the doctors told her parents if they didn't allow her to actually transition to a boy, that she may commit suicide. And what parent would want their child to commit suicide? So they allowed her to do this. And she actually had a double mastectomy, and she had hormone therapy, and really her life became miserable. She thought what she thought was going to set her free actually made her life worse. And really it was that, you know, she was a girl and she was trying to be a boy because she thought that, and a boy had actually molested her with her breast, and she was trying to hide her breast, and she really, you know, was trying to make it look like she didn't have breast. And then again, she got this double mastectomy, which, by the way, the skin has never healed. And, you know, the doctors that performed the surgery have refused to help her. And when she wanted to retransition back to a woman, they wouldn't help her with that. And she's just kind of out there and on her own, and had to find other means. But she actually still has physical wounds on her chest from this surgery, this maiming of this girl. So you see that God made humans male and female. Jesus, you know, there are some people that say, well, that's the Old Testament. We're not going to believe that. That's on the Old Covenant. We don't have to, you know, that's under the law and so on and so forth. Of course, Genesis happened before the law. This was actually God's principle from creation. So, you know, that, and we know also from the Bible, from Jesus' words himself, he didn't come to do away with the law or abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And certainly there are certain things that we don't have to do anymore. We don't have to gather together once a year and shed the blood of a bull or a goat or a sheep for our sins, because Jesus has become our scapegoat. He's become our Passover lamb. He shed his own blood. That blood was poured out on the mercy seat in heaven. The mercy seat on earth was a type and a shadow of that. And once Jesus made that sacrifice, we no longer need to actually sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus actually prophesied that the temple would be torn down, that the veil would be rent in two, and the veil was rent in two. In AD 70, when the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem, the Christians heeded the words of Jesus and fled Jerusalem, and the Jews thought God was going to deliver them once again, and God didn't deliver them, and the Roman army came in, and they actually desecrated the temple. They actually offered sacrifice to their signet of an eagle in the temple, even in the Holy of Holies. They tore it down according to the words of Jesus so that not one stone was left upon another. They actually, in fulfillment with an Old Testament prophecy, plowed the foundation of the temple. That temple is not there anymore, and God ended and showed very clearly that the Old Testament sacrificial system is not needed anymore. But the moral principles of the Word of God still stand. And Jesus confirmed this principle that God made them male and female. He confirmed this in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. We also see from the Bible, and we've talked about, you know, the relationship with parents and children. It's very important that if you're a parent, that you take time with your children and that you love them and don't abuse them and train them in the way they should go. The Bible tells us that we should train a child in the way they should go. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Also, that we should bring children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And Paul talks to Timothy and actually reminds Timothy that actually he was trained and knew the scriptures from a young child, that he was actually trained in the Word of God, that from childhood he was taught these principles. That's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. When we look at this issue, it's important that we love people enough to speak the truth. There are some people that have an idea that loving people is telling them what they want to hear, and that being nice to someone is telling them what they want to hear. If someone's house is burning down and they don't know it and they don't think that it's burning down, and you tell them, hey, you know, your house looks great, and you allow them to stay in the house without realizing and warning them that their house is burning down, that's not love. We need to love people enough to tell people the truth. The truth will set you free. It's important that we speak the truth. And the Bible even says that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's in Proverbs 27, verse 6. When we as people tell people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear, then we are not loving them. Certainly, we do need to speak the truth, and we do need to speak it in love. And there are people that speak the truth, but don't really speak it in love. We do need to speak the truth, but also speak that in love. The Apostle Paul, when he was nearing the end of his life, actually got together with some Christians, and he told them, he said, hey, listen, I'm free from the guilt of innocent blood of all men because I've not shunned to tell you the complete and whole counsel of God. That's from Acts chapter 20, verses 26 through 27. There are pastors today that will not be able to stand before their congregation and say that honestly. There are pastors today that will not be able to stand in heaven and say that honestly. And certainly for those out there, maybe your pastor's like that. Encourage your pastor to speak the truth. Maybe you're a pastor and you're not willing to speak the truth because you don't want to offend anyone. Be encouraged to speak the truth. Repent of that sin. It is a sin. God has placed you on the wall as a watchman on the wall. If you warn people and they do not heed, then they do not turn, their blood is on their own head. But if you fail to warn them and they die, then their blood is on your head because you failed to warn. We need to speak the truth and to speak it in love and to not forsake declaring the entire counsel of God, to not just skip over those parts of the Bible that are controversial, but to speak out this. And when we look at the Bible on homosexuality, the Bible doesn't, first of all, single out homosexuality. The Bible talks about other sins as well. Adultery, homosexuality, incest, bestiality. These are all sins that in Leviticus chapters 18 and 20, God defines as abominations. And God actually says that these sins are sins that will bring God's judgment on a nation. Also lumped in there is child sacrifice. Isn't it interesting that we see sexual perversion today and we see abortion, child sacrifice? These go hand in hand. With that, you also see homosexuality, and even it does happen in our culture, bestiality as well. So we want to present truth and hope for homosexuals and members of the LGBTQ plus community. See, the thing is, there's consequences. First of all, you need to know the truth that your sin, what you're doing is sin. Homosexuality, transvestites, people that are changing their sexes, that is a sin. It's a sin that actually will lead you to hell. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And by the way, again, God doesn't single out homosexuals. You have heterosexual sin there as well, and you have other types of sin. Those who habitually practice these will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's really bad news. If you continue in your sin, you're destined to death and hell. But the next verse gives you hope. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." You see, God gives hope. God gives redemption. God is able to not only forgive you from your sin or for your sin, He's able to set you free from your sin so that you don't have to be a homosexual anymore, so that you don't have to be a fornicator anymore, so that you don't have to be an adulterer anymore, so that you don't have to be a sodomite anymore or any of the other sins that are listed here. But that is only true if you confess your sins, if you repent of your sins, if you meditate on God's word and allow His word to set you free from that sin. Otherwise, the penalty is death and hell. We need to come to God and repent of our sins and cry out to God for forgiveness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Before God created civil government, He created family. Before He created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station WCNO.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station WCNO.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. from protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes. Financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
You're listening to W.